Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about a silent epidemic that's happening around the world, and it is sibling sexual abuse. So today's episode, I'd like to bring awareness to the silent epidemic and also give you tips for prevention. Hello, my name is Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent, and welcome to my Inspire and Learn series, where real parents come on and tell their story of inspiration and learning. Because a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. And today we're going to learn from our very special guest, Jane Epstein. And Jane is a sibling sexual abuse survivor and advocate who speaks about tools that parents can use for prevention and tools that victims can use for recovery. I'm so happy to have her on today. Thank you for being here, Jane.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to your guests who are listening.
Jane, I want to talk about your story first. Would you mind tell us a little bit about what happened to you?
I'm going to give you the shortened version of my story. And my story happens out of order because my life kind of happened out of order. And that's the easiest way to describe it. When I was about 45 years old, I found myself incredibly depressed. And I was sitting at the bottom of the staircase holding my 8-year-old son's hand. And I wanted to tell him, I'm sorry I failed you as a mother. Because I had that sense of dread rising into my chest. And I felt like my life was coming to an end. Turns out that was depression, but I didn't understand that it was depression. And it was at that moment that I decided I need to figure out what's going on. Why am I so unhappy? I'm married. I have 2 children. I should be happy. And I started writing my story down from start until the present day. And when I started doing that, I realized that I had been sexually abused from the age of 6 until 12 by an older sibling. And then after that, I became promiscuous. And I became so promiscuous that I became a stripper. And when becoming a stripper, it actually gave me power and I felt pretty and I learned how to talk to men. And through becoming a stripper, I also met my first husband. That doesn't happen often, but I did. He was actually a patron in the club and he came up and he tipped me and he said, "What are you doing here? You look like the kind of girl I could take home to meet my mom." And he did just that. I did meet his mom and we were married. And we actually had a really nice love affair. But at some point, I started resenting him because I wasn't known inside. I didn't understand that, but he didn't know the real me. He didn't know the shame inside of me. So I started resenting him and I started pushing him away. But I don't know what would have happened because then he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And when he died, I actually felt for the first time. I had spent 40 years hiding and being numb, that when he died, I couldn't avoid the pain. So when I could actually feel the pain, I actually experienced joy. And I thought that was my story. Okay. That grief is my story. And I thought I was finished, but God was not done with me yet. I got remarried, had 2 small children. And that's when the memories came back of the sexual abuse. And that's when I ended up depressed. And that's when I ended up having to turn inward and discover what was going on inside of me that needed to be addressed in order to move forward.
That's an amazing journey. And I don't feel like it's unusual. A lot of sexual abuse memories do get suppressed and then come back later on in life when something triggers it. That's just amazing. I'm really glad that you found where you are now and are helping others. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you. I feel very fortunate to have come to this part of my life where I can give back.
So let's talk a little bit about sibling sexual abuse. How likely is this to happen in our families?
It's interesting because when I talk to people, a lot of people say, "Is that a thing? Nobody's talking about it." And it is a silent epidemic. And when I talk about sibling sexual abuse, I'm talking about siblings, step siblings, cousins, older adolescents. So think about your child's best friend's older brother or sister. In fact, 35 to 40% of child sexual abuse is estimated to be perpetrated by juveniles. So it is a silent epidemic and it is happening. We just aren't talking about it.
No, it's not something that anybody wants to talk about. And for so many different reasons. Right.
I wanted to identify the difference between normal child curiosity versus sexual abuse. Can you make that difference for the audience?
I can. It's a very confusing aspect of sibling sexual abuse, and that's part of the reason it's hidden so well. Curiosity, to be clear, children are curious, absolutely. And when they're being curious, it's usually between children of the same size, same age, and same developmental level. And it's exploratory or spontaneous. So think maybe two children giggling and they're playing doctor once or twice, and then the behavior stops after a couple times or after a parental intervention. Sexual abuse is more when their children are different ages, different sizes, different developmental levels. Sexual abuse is hidden. It's behind closed doors, and the motivation is sexual gratification and power. And speaking of power, when children are 2 years or more apart, we really need to be aware. We really need to be mindful and educating them and talking to them and know what's happening behind closed doors. And if you're still kind of confused, if you're a parent, say you suspect something might be happening, or you walk into the room and you're not sure, take a deep breath, remain calm. We're parents, right? We tell our kids every experience is a learning experience, and this is a learning experience as well. So start asking questions in a non-judgmental way, in an open way. And you're going to need that open door policy when they're teens anyways. But start asking them questions and say, hey, you know, what were you doing? And, you know, why were you doing that? And can you tell me where you learned that? And just create the open discussion. And then you can end the discussion with, we don't touch other people's privates. That includes siblings, neighbors, friends.
And I wanted to ask you, if you have a child or children that you suspect that this might be happening, it may not be malicious from the older child, correct? I mean, it could just be curiosity, but because of the age difference, it still would be considered sexual abuse. Is that correct?
That is correct. And here's the thing, is that curiosity, it can start as curiosity, but then it can lead to sexual abuse. And that's actually what happened in my situation. I had an older sibling who was curious, started touching me, and it went on for 6 years because their body reacts the way it's supposed to react. And it's a great learning opportunity. So sit down, talk to your kids, create that open door, and talk to them.
So what are the factors that contribute to adolescent or child-to-child or sibling sexual abuse?
There's not just one thing that can lead to it, but I will walk you through a couple scenarios. First, I don't think any family is immune. There are several factors. One, lack of body safety education. When our children are 3 years old, when they can become verbal, that's when we need to sit down and start reading them books about body safety, their boundaries, their right to say no. And we need to make sure we're using the terms properly for private parts. We need to use penis. We need to use vagina. And then two, lack of sexual education. When children turn 10, 12, 10 to 14, that's a very important age. We're not done educating our kids just because they're not three anymore. When they are teenagers, they are very curious. They have questions and they're going to want to find those answers, and they're going to go to the internet if they can't come to us. And they become curious and they might seek out a younger sibling or a younger cousin to get their answers. Three could be pornography. It's not a question of when our children, it's not a question of if our children are going to come across pornography. It's more likely when they're stumbling across it by accident, they're being exposed to it. And we need to educate our children about pornography as well, because when they see pornography in their head, they think, okay, I'm not supposed to be seeing this. Mom and dad said not to watch this, but their body responds the way it's supposed to respond and it feels good. So they might seek out a younger sibling or a younger cousin to reenact what they've seen on the screen. Or another possibility is a sibling who's sexually abusing another child. Maybe they were sexually abused and they're reenacting the power or the sexual gratification.
Yeah, there are so many reasons why a sibling, a young adolescent or an older adolescent would do these things. And I just want to make it clear that it does not necessarily have to be malicious. It could be, but it doesn't have to be. And it doesn't seem like it's ever a simple reason, right? It's very complicated. There's lots of layers, but the awareness to have parents realize that this is out there so that you can protect your children and even possibly protect your younger children from your older children.
Yes.
Because if you don't know about this, parents, then how are you going to protect your younger children? At least now you could be aware. You can hopefully take some steps, at which Jane and I will be talking about as we move on in our conversation, of how we can really arm our kids with tools for protection. But before I get to that question, Jane, I do want to ask you, how did this become such a passion for you? I mean, obviously, I know what happened to you, but a lot of people this happens to, and they don't become advocates, and they don't want to share their story. And, you know, it's very, very difficult for people to talk about. So why have you come to this place?
It is very difficult to talk about. When I first started coming forward with my story, I started Googling sibling sexual abuse, and Google was almost silent. And I thought, well, I can't be the only one. So I started, you know, talking about sexual abuse, and I kept getting a nudge saying, no, it's got to be sibling sexual abuse. So I started coming forward with my story, and I had survivors reaching out to me saying, thank you for talking about this. I can't, but thank you. And then I started having parents reaching out to me saying, this happened in our family. We had no idea. We didn't even consider this, that this was a thing. And I got to tell you, today, I have 4 or 5 people reach out to me on a daily basis. So it's out there. And I realize we have to talk about this, because if you're a parent and if you have one sibling who sexually abuses another sibling, you're in the middle of it, and it destroys families. This isn't a doctor or a coach where you can put distance from. This is in your family. Or if it's your, say it's your sister's kid who sexually abuses your kid, your sister says, you're lying. It destroys families. And I truly believe that we can put a dent in the numbers if we educate our children and if we educate ourselves.
I absolutely agree, which is why I'm having you on today. So many parents don't even know that this is a problem. And if you don't know it's a problem, you can't prevent it. So Jane, this is such a sensitive subject, and some parents out there have never heard about this before. So if you're one of those parents who doesn't know anything about this, what kind of signs should we be looking out for in our home?
There's one thing I do want to share first and foremost, is that approximately 40% of children who are sexually abused show no signs. 40% show no signs. That's where I feel prevention is in education. So if we educate our children, they will have the words to say something if they aren't showing any other signs. Parents, you know your kids best, and kids don't generally change for no reason overnight. If there's unexplained anger, or if all of a sudden they don't want to go to someone's house, or they're wetting the bed, they aren't doing this to be difficult. They're trying to tell you something. There is a whole list of possible signs on several websites, on stopitnow.org, Darkness to Light, and then also Parenting Safe Children. She offers a book. It's called Off Limits. I call it the handbook of all sexual abuse. I would go to those and just be aware.
So the awareness is absolutely number one priority for me, but my second priority is helping these kids, both the abuser and the person that got abused, honestly, because I feel both need help. So yes. Where can parents find either online classes, books to read to their children, just anywhere where they can find support network for this, for learning, for helping their kids?
Right. And I do want to go back to, you say that the person who abuses another child, they need help too. And if you get that child help, the you can get them help. I believe 98% of them never repeat offend. So they need help too. And you are absolutely right. They're usually not acting out as an adult. They're not malicious. They are 12, 14-year-olds who are making a decision, not understanding the ramifications. So I do want to state that. As far as educating your child, I am a full-time advocate. And I know full-time advocates. I have access to advocates. I have not written any courses. I have not written any books, but I have read lots of books, and I have actually taken the courses. And I have all these websites and resources on my site. I'm not making any money from this. I'm just bringing about awareness. And by the time this podcast comes out, I will have a free PDF file that you can download for all these resources. I have resources for survivors. I have resources for family members. and I'm constantly updating those. I firmly believe that when we start educating our children, we need to read them 10 different books on body safety and secrets. That way they hear it 10 different ways and 10 different times. I'm a firm believer in that.
Tell us how parents could reach you.
Absolutely. My website is complicatedcourage.com and my Instagram is Jane_complicatedcourage.
Parents, I'm so fortunate. Jane is willing to give you this free PDF. So if you would like to collect that, it's going to be at theimpactfulparent.com/sibling sexual abuse. And of course, on there, there's also Jane's information so that you can reach out to her if you have more questions and more need more resources, but it's a good way to start. So again, go to theimpactfulparent.com/sibling sexual abuse. And Jane, my last question to you is, what do you hope someone listening to this segment will do after learning about this silent epidemic that's happening right now?
Well, if you're a parent and you have littles and you haven't educated them, I'm hoping that you will purchase books today and start talking to them about body safety. Or if you're a parent of a teen and you think, well, I've talked to my kids, they're okay, check in with them. And I have teen resources on my website as well. And I've read all of them to my kids, my poor kids. They roll their eyes at me. They're teen boys. Educate your teens. If you're a parent and you feel like this may be happening in your home and you're thinking it's going to go away, please get your child help, both of your children help. Know that you are not alone. These statistics are not small, so you are not alone. I have parents reach out to me. I have access to parent Facebook groups. You're not alone. I know it's fear. I know there's fear. I know there's shame. You're not alone. Get your family help. Or if you're a survivor of sibling sexual abuse, I want you to know you're not alone, and we are out there, and we are trying to bring about awareness.
Oh, I am so grateful for having you on today, Jane. Thank you so much. And audience, if you have an inspiring story and want to share your story with the Impactful Parent community so that others can learn from you, please go to theimpactfulparent.com, go to the Work With Me page and sign up. And if you want to become a more impactful parent, check out all that my website has to offer. I have parenting courses, family coaching, 30-day challenges, and lots of free resources. But until next time, you got this, parents. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge, browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.